Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand the situation here we are in and why and how it is that you're dealing with it and ultimately turning the curse into a blessing by means of your Word under the ministry of the Spirit. And because of your work through Jesus. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our book of Romans, we're in chapter 3, verse 14, we finished last time. Basically, what Paul is doing here is going back to the Old Testament for documentation for mankind and his spiritual death. So in V14, where it's our expanded translation is, whose mouth keeps on being filled with cursing and bitterness. It's kind of similar to the New American Standard. I guess keeps on being is the piece that says mouth is full of. Keeps on being picks up the present tense and the linear action. So that basically it becomes a continuous stream of negative volition with mental attitude and verbal sins. So we know that this is telling us that the maladjusted person enters into reversionism, and reversionism places the maladjusted person under the influence of evil depravity. And that's what we noted last time, was how the person starts out in spiritual death with objectivity. But when they reject the common grace of the Holy Spirit as an unbeliever, their objectivity is turned to negative volition if they say no to Jesus Christ. And that turns into depravity. It's their act, it's their pursuit of righteousness or whatever they think is good without God that creates the depravity. You know, we have to, and again, the definition of depravity is important here because these people aren't necessarily depraved as people would see them. But from God's perspective, they are. Because they rejected God's answer to the problem they're in. And that's the definition of depravity. Now, they can get even worse and become negative towards divine establishment, and that also then would actually bring them into depravity in the sphere of humanity. We see that right now with the riots that have occurred in the first couple of years of this administration. In the cities where they burned the places down and killed people and stuff. So that's and what's interesting is we're going to know this justice issue or the alignment to God's justice occurs at three points. And so while unbelievers get involved with it at salvation, believers get involved with it at the filling of the Spirit and at spiritual maturity. If they reject that, the same kind of cycle occurs with them. And that's, I mean, that really comes out here in the next couple of verses. And it also, I mean, explains why we have what we have going on in this country, which is, it was kind of a frustrating. You see the dichotomy between the Democrat and the Republicans, if that's how it's laid out today. And there's absolutely no question that the Democrats are depraved. I mean, what they're teaching, what they're promoting, what they're, the whole agenda, if you look at it, is really evil. So, and you see believers voting for these people. And that's the question, why? And, of course, the answer to that, they're deceived, obviously. Unbelievers, you can understand that perfectly. That makes perfect sense, if they would. I mean, they don't necessarily. And, again, not all unbelievers are anti-establishment. So they may well vote for a more establishment a president or a person. So it isn't entirely included by believer and unbeliever. It's basically related to believer winner and believer loser. That's what it really relates to. And then the question becomes, you know, is puzzling. And these couple of verses answer that too, is why does God allow the depraved people to win? And the answer to that question is so that God can discipline the believers who are negative. So that's interesting. So expect that to continue to happen. Just expect that's what's going to happen, unless there's a change in the spiritual status of the country. Because believers are the reason. I mean, we've always said that. But this explains not just that it's true, but why. And you analyze that, it comes out from, what? Why would it be? Well, the only place a believer can suffer is in time. The moment we're out of here, we're face to face with the Lord, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. So God's not going to extract loser believers with that. He's going to allow them to stay here and stick their nose in the bucket that they've created. All right? That's what he's going to do, and that's what he's doing. And I suspect that that'll be the continuing reality of what's going to go on unless there's a change spiritually. Because it's all based on believers, whether they're advancing positive or not. And basically, are they filled with the Spirit or not? And that's where we're at. So as long as believers are going negative, voting for evil, we're going to keep getting it, and there's not going to be an exit resurrection either. The nation's going to go down with them intact. All right. Then later, at some point, maybe the exit, well, we know it will, we just don't know when, but it's going to be long after this nation is gone. So that's a little bit of interesting things that you can look at the historical trends and see why. And there's predicate for that concept that I just gave you. I was thinking about that this morning. Some of Abraham's greatest adversity came from Lot. Now, Abraham, remember, is a God after, well, he was a friend of God. Yeah. He's the father of the doctrine. And he was given all these promises. Okay, well, and then Lot, his nephew, goes off into Sodom and lives down there where there's great prosperity, that they're very evil. And then Abraham gets involved twice with extracting Lot from the discipline that God brought on Sodom. So that's interesting. Twice. It was the Chedorlaomer one, and then there was the second one. So there were two situations where Abraham was involved with Lot, and Lot, a believer, the negative, so we refer to him as a loser, such as it is, so no advance in time, no doctrinal advance in time, he was a source of major hassle for Abraham. And that's just exactly what's happening here in this country. So expect as a positive believer to have adversity from the situation, because of association with negative believers living in the country. Now, what's interesting is this suffering. We have the promise of God. It's in what? Philippians 1:29, I think, where it says, it's given to us to suffer for Jesus, to believe and to suffer for Jesus' sake. So this covers that in whole entire role. You got the believer who's filled with the Spirit and advancing, suffering for blessing, undeserved suffering for blessing. That would be as Jesus, for Jesus' sake. And then you have the other side, the negative believer who's out of fellowship, persistently, suffering for discipline. It's the same suffering. It's just affecting one believer. One of the negative believers is going to have, at the evaluation, all of their human good burned up. And they're going to get nothing going into the eternal state, except they're going to be saved. And then the winner, or the positive believer, who's positive of the word, will have suffered the same suffering, but because of his suffering for Jesus, for real, because they were filled with the Spirit, they're going to be rewarded with gold, silver, and precious stones. So there's your story of the United States right now, where we're at, and why it is the way it is, and why you can expect it to continue unless there's a spiritual revival in this country, which I don't see happening. But that's possible. You know, God's intent is for that to occur. So cursing and bitterness saturate the soul, and they seek to build their happiness on someone else's unhappiness. So that's what Nate Volition does. Negative volition to God plus depravity does. You see, again, the neutral point of objectivity to God's grace, now they're on the bubble at that point, but they haven't gone negative until they say no. Cursing, let's see, we saw that. Mental and verbal sins link up to form the pattern where two basic principles that are violated. First, you cannot build your happiness on someone else's unhappiness. And second, a wrong never makes a right. Now, they all believe that's true. You know, they think they can build their happiness on somebody else's unhappiness. They think they can do that with Donald Trump. If he's got a brain, they can't. Well, he has a brain, I think. So, I mean, the point is, God has used this situation to set him up. We'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised if he loses again. Just because there's so many negative believers voting for the other guy. And they don't even know who the other guy is. I mean, he's really not even there. So, whatever. It's just kind of interesting how that plays. And then the other one is the leftists all believe that a wrong that makes a right is a good wrong, in their view. You know, in other words, they'll destroy the country. Well, they're doing it all the time here. They are destroying things that are divine establishment for the purpose of advancing their communist socialist agenda. You know, you got that in spades. So that's their side of the story. Evil words of bitterness and cursing are the first and primary weapon of the human race. And like the venom of the cobra, which we saw in the last verse, depraved reversionists spew them out to destroy others. So the words are used. So that becomes the medium of exchange, if you will, is words. Paul is quoting Old Testament scripture here as additional documentation for man's depravity that comes from spiritual death. And in verses 15 to 17, there are quotations from Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8. So he spends three or four verses discussing this. We get to 18 today if I go all the way through my notes. And this summarizes what's going on with a few exceptions. Because the quotes are from the Septuagint. I'll note that in a minute. But that's just a variance, slight variance in the way it reads. Remember, the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And Paul often used it in his writing. And of course, the advantage of that was it stayed in the Greek. So, because it was already translated into the Greek from the Hebrew. So he used the Septuagint and for the next bunch of verses. And so there's some slight variances. Some things that aren't there that are in the Hebrew, but the majority of it covers. So reading this out, this is where he's going for the next couple of verses. Their feet run to evil. This is people with negative volition plus depravity. They hasten to shed innocent blood. So we're going to go through each of these words in the Greek. Their thoughts, this is a translation from the Hebrew. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, devastation and destruction are in their highways. In verse 8 we get into they do not know the way of peace. Now that's an interesting word, peace. A lot of people misunderstand that word. We're going to get into that. And there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. That one treads on their highway. So the ways that they're going, the highways they're walking on, the path they're waking, I mean, that's the manner of life. We have the admonition, walk by means of the Spirit. That's conduct your life on the basis of the filling of the Spirit. That's one of the mandates for the church, age believer. And so what we have here is individuals who are walking a walk in life that does not know peace. So the definition of peace here is important because it's not what most people think it is. We'll see that as we go along. There are quotations from Isaiah 40, 50, 59, verses 7, 8. The first phrase is, let's go back to our passage. I already read all that, so I guess I don't need to quote that again. Get verse 15 up here. So Paul quotes them in Romans are from the Septuagint, as I noted. So there are some variances from the Hebrew translation. Verse 15, Romans chapter 3. Their feet are swept to shed blood. That's basically pretty similar to what we saw in the Hebrew. The nominative pure plural subject from podes, you know, your feet are, that's the Greek word. Podiatry, there's your root for Greek, when someone that works, a doctor that works on your feet. It's called a podiatrist. You know, so that's where that word comes from. And again, it's a lot of the medical verbiage is used comes directly from the Greek, some from the Latin, but mostly from the Greek. The words, we're going to see another one in a minute too, called optometry. That's your eye doctor. You know, so those words come directly from the, they're commonly used in our language because we adopt those words as transliterated, you know, coming over. So the translation and transliteration are the same. The word for feet plus the possessive genitive plural from the intensive pronoun auta. So that means it's there. The word there is translated auta. So if we see this over here I jump over to the Nestle Aleph, we'll see this. Of course, again, the phraseology is different. the of them is those are there, T-H-E-A-R, there, that, of them is how they say it. So that's how that looks. Again, there is, in the English it's first, and in the Nestle-Aaron it's last in the phrase. Because remember, the way the verbs and the nouns go together, and the way the subjects and the predicates go together in the Greek is backwards. Typical. That's what Spanish and French and them all do. They're all the same in that regard. So their feet, plus, outhouse, translated them, emphasizes the identity of the depraved, maladjusted reversionist who is under the influence of evil. So here's the person who says no, in the case of his context of an unbeliever, to the common grace of God, the Holy Spirit, that ends up in the status quo. And they're negative because they said no to God at God at gospel hearing, and now they're actually an enemy of God in their depravity. I mean, passive enemy, maybe, not active yet. They'll get active later as they progress, if they continue that path. It's translated their feet, plus the predicate nominative masculine plural from oxos, that means swift or quick. Then the aorist infinitive from ekeko, that means to pour out, with accusative singular hyema for blood. So those are the next three words there. Swift to shed blood is what the New American Standard says. With hyema echero does not mean to pour out, although technically it literally means to pour out, although you can draw a picture of that and see what you're getting. It means murder. Okay, because if you're pouring someone's blood out on the ground, what's happening? He's dying physically. So, I mean, that's what happened. That's how the scripture defines Cain and Abel. Cain poured his brother's blood on the ground. You know, how do you do that? He sliced his throat or whatever. Put it this way, that's probably what happened. But, and here they are. Here the unbelievers are murdering, others, people. The concept of eris refers to a momentary action. That would be, of course, the point the person dies. The active voice, the depraved, maladjusted reversionist under the influence of evil, produces the action. So our expanded translation is going to take that into cognizance. It's their feet are swift to commit murder. So that, of course, that's what we see. If you look at unbelievers, and even in our country, with this with the leftist propaganda they're accepting, and they're functioning in the cities, that's what they do. It leads to murder. I mean, it starts out with other kinds of crimes, and when that's not addressed by the people who are in charge, that would be the politicians who are leftists, then the whole thing escalates. That's what we've got going. So note that from the original quotation of Isaiah 59:7, that it says their feet run to evil. And then it goes on to mention murder with the phrase shed innocent blood. See, there it says feet run to evil and shed innocent blood. This principle is the same in both passages because depraved evil sponsors violence and murder as a problem-solving device. See, that these folks that are involved with this tearing down the cities here think they're getting even with the white guy because they allege that they've been discriminated against. And that's the basis for their attacks. So they're just destroying property and whatever gets in their way. To make a case that they're not happy. And their answer is violence. Okay, we know from the Word of God that problem solving is accomplished through God's integrity. So they would be better off praying to God to solve this problem. And if of course they can't pray because they aren't filled with the Spirit or don't know how to be. They can pray, but it won't be answered. The point here is that would be a proper remedy for the problem would be to believe in Jesus and then get filled with the Spirit and pray. That would solve the problem. Because then God would deal with them on the basis of his integrity. And that's really what they would want. But they don't know how to get there from here. So they do it in their own strength with their evil. So the problem solving accomplished through God's integrity. But evil alleges that the end justifies the means. But God's word tells us that the end never justifies the means. Okay, God has a plan and the means and the end are in harmony with his integrity and his grace policy. So God resolves the problem in his way, and that's why we've got to wait on him to solve these problems. We can, but we shouldn't. That's the problem we face, the threat in our country of right-leaning, right, when I said right, conservative-leaning or traditionalist-leaning people who, of doing things that they shouldn't be doing because they're reacting to the leftists. Now, that's what happened on January 6th. They're calling it an insurrection. It isn't, but whatever. They gave them food for the fodder. See, the leftists are able to disparage the people who are related to the divine establishment because of what happened there. That's what they've been doing. They've been making a big stink about it. Hopefully, it will. I mean, Trump might get indicted. That would be a good thing, probably. And then he can blow them away with the facts, because they're hiding the facts. The only way they can make their story is to hide the facts. And they've been told the facts, some of the facts. We saw some of that on Tucker. All right, they all got upset about that, but the fact of the matter is that was what happened, and it wasn't nearly as violent. It was not violent, but there were people where they shouldn't have been, and they were breaking the law to be there. Okay, and of course they're getting terrible crimes. They're getting accused terribly for this, and actually getting convicted by leftist judges. Most of it's going to get thrown out. I mean, it's already happening. Because as the facts roll out, the courts that are appeals courts are going to strike it down. But in the meantime, you spent 5 or 6 years in jail. I mean, it's not a good thing. So you shouldn't have been there. See, that's the thing. Just don't be there. I mean, they just avoid problems by not being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's what happened. So you got, and it gets finding more and more that this was actually an inside job for the government. So that makes it even worse, because you can't convict somebody on that. But they did, so we'll see what happens. But it's interesting. So from both these panelists, that violence and murder are a problem-solving device. God's word says that problem-solving is accomplished through God's integrity, but evil alleges the end justifies the means. But God's word tells us that the end never justifies the means. So that's James says it very well. Also, I mean, the principle is in James. He said a verse, I forget which one it is. The wrath of man does not perform God's righteousness. Okay, that's what it says. And that's true. So we don't need to get involved with that. We stay away from it. We pray about it. God will solve it in his time when he's ready. And recognize what he's doing it for. I mean, that's the problem here. When you understand, as I just started this class with, that God is allowing the leftists to win so that negative believers can be punished, then you're going to get out of the way, right? I would hope. You don't want to be anywhere near that lightning. And it ain't going to take them to the grave. You know, we think about that. You know, what God did in other times is he would actually take them to the death. I mean, he did that with Ananias and Sapphira. He did that with the guys back that went up against Moses. I can't remember their name. The earth swallowed them up. Can't remember their names at the moment. Three guys. Something, Dathan, and Abiram. Can't remember the first guy's name. Anyways, they were swallowed up. And, of course, God was dealing with the people differently at that point. Same with Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, the things that Ananias and Sapphira did and died for wouldn't happen today. Got to let it pass, because we're not working in the inception of the church. You know, there's a whole lot else going on. So at that point, that was a critical point, and it was a key issue relating to Barnabas and his work as a evangelist with Paul, and what was leading up to all that. The reason for the money being given to the church, it was for evangelism. Barnabas funded that thing mostly, and they saw Barnabas getting all this praise because he had funded the show, but he was going with the show. What's he going to need all this stuff for in Jerusalem? He's not going to be back. Right? Or that's not long. So he was going to go on. He went on a trip. That's what he did. For the rest of his life, he was an evangelist all over the place. And it was his property that was sold to fund that. And these guys wanted to get on the praise that he was getting, and they did it all wrong. It was their money to do with what they wanted to do, but they lied about it. And that wasn't going to play, at least at that point in the church. I mean, like I say, it would play now, because it doesn't matter that much. In final analysis, it's a small potato. But in that time, it was important, because of the influence that they would have had out of line with what they were. You see, they would have promoted their evil if they got away with it. And God wasn't going to let that happen. So, verse 16 here. It quotes the third phrase of Isaiah 59:7. If we jump over there, we see that. Now, the third phrase is their thoughts. Let's see. Destruction, there it is. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. Now, what that is, devastation and destruction are their way of life, is what it really means. We'll see that. That has to do with the way they're getting. So, getting back to getting back to the Greek. It's in the Greek, it says, the New American Standard, destruction and misery are in their highways. That's what the basic, or in their paths. Okay, we're going to see that the word means way, or highway, or road, is what it means. It's from the nominative singular subject symmetria, derived from the word siptro, that means to shelter, to smash, to crush, to destroy. So there's our first word. It has to do with destruction. Let me drag that thing out here. And you notice in the New American Standard it says run first. Okay. So anyways, we have misery. Let's go with this. Destruction. It means to fracture, i.e. a calamity. Okay, that's the definition of the word Sumatra. Derived from the verb sirab, that means to destroy, to smash, to crush, and to shatter. Both the verb and the cognate noun refer to breaking bones and smashing skulls, crushing bodies. It was original. Remember, the way in the time the Bible was written, that's how they fought war. Well, they kind of still do that. They used more technology to do it. But in the end, it was a hand-to-hand combat with these guys, you remember? You know, so they were right in the middle of the thing when they were fighting. And that was just the way things were done back then, with swords and spears and shields. Refers to breaking bones, smashing skulls, crushing bodies. It was originally used in the Greek for killing in battle, but eventually became to mean all historical use of violence. Okay, so what this amounts to is the use of violence to achieve your objectives. And we got that going on in this country, right? Well, it's under the radar right now, but it was right out in the front a while back. So they were doing this. I mean, not with swords and spears, but they were burning stuff down and tearing the place up. No different. This is a description of historical disaster when we understand it, that it involves violence. And because that's what you have to say. If you lived in these cities that were assaulted and run over by these people, you would have to call that historical disaster. You never would have thought that it would happen here. I mean, it's shocking. So we will translate it historical disaster or being destroyed by violence. Mankind creates evil, then he destroys himself or others with it violently in historical disaster. So that's the way it always is. It always is that things are developed and then they wrap around themselves and they become used for evil. In the final analysis, that's always the way it works. Because the devil takes over and runs the show with it. So even though it may have been a blessing in the beginning and actually provides everybody with certain opportunities, in the end, it becomes a disaster, it's involved with the disaster. We see that with all the equipment they have now over there. They're fighting in Ukraine, you know, the drones and all that stuff. I mean, that stuff wasn't developed for that. I mean, they did. They built it. You can't blame them. Why wouldn't they? I'm just saying. But the point is, that stuff wasn't developed for that. And in the end, the use of those technology in warfare is going to exceed the benefit that was derived in peace. That's what I said. They eventually get around to utilizing that technology or technologies for evil. That's always the way it happens because we're living in the devil's world. So then the second nominative singular subject of Tiapora, that means distress, trouble, or misery. So we see that down here. There's our Tiapora. That means distress or misery. The word refers to personal suffering. So you have historical disaster connected with personal suffering. That is what you got going. Okay, and that's what it gets interesting when you think about it in the context of believers out of fellowship involved with this. Because where was the historical disaster? It was in blue cities. Who lives there? Negative believers who vote Democrat. It's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's sad, but it's true. You go to places like Portland that were overrun by these people, the CHOP people, or whatever it's called, I think. That one summer, they ran the show up there in Portland. Took over a bunch of towns, a bunch of streets downtown. those people are all, probably all believers who voted Democrat. I mean, they're, it's a beautiful part of the country. I mean, it's beautiful up there, and it's right along the river. Willamette, I think. It comes in together in there. It's a beautiful place. I've walked all this over the streets in the past. I used to spend a lot of time in Portland. I used to work for a company that was there, just outside, Beaverton. So I've been there, done that. And those places that they tore to pieces and trashed were all beautiful places in the town, in the city. I mean, you could walk anywhere. When I was there in the 80s, you could walk around there and it was a beautiful place. It's kind of like with San Francisco. Same problem, only not quite as bad maybe. Different problem. Similar, but different. The CHOP people didn't take over San Francisco yet. But I'm just saying, that was just what happened. So what you got? You got people now that have to leave their beautiful homes, these stately mansions that are on that river, near the center of town, that were absolutely beautiful. And they got to leave because they're scared to death to live there for good reason. But who did they vote for? They voted for that moron mayor that they had. Did they deserve to get that? Yes, they did. They got it. They got personal disaster from historical disaster. Or personal suffering from historical disaster. I rest my case. That's what happened. That's why they're winning. They're voting for the wrong people. That would never have happened under a conservative leadership. And they're still living that. They're still voting for these people. It's just crazy. But that's what you get. That's why I say it's going to keep going until there's a change in the people who are voting for the wrong people. And that would be believers. That would be believers. With this is a prepositional phrase, and plus the locative of hodos and autos, translated, are in their highways. There's no verb to be in the word. That would be the word are. It's added in the English to make it flow better. So we see that in their past, are their past. See the are there? Well, if you go over here, there is not any are. There's no to be, okay? It just goes, they run and, ruin and misery. Those are two words that involve historical disaster and personal suffering in the way of them, in their way, okay? So it's not, there's no to be in it, is my point. It's in the English, because it makes sense. It's are, but it's not in the Greek. That's the point of this verse-by-verse thing. Go through and look for the words that are brought over or didn't bring over, as the case may be, and this is one they add. And it's not in italics, all right, because it actually makes it read better. And the idea is there. You get all that from the verbiage in the Greek. In other words, the to be is kind of conflated with the word as it's used. So you don't have to, you don't need an R, but in English you do. Okay, so that's where that occurs. So the no verb to be or translated are added in English to make it flow better in the English. So our expanded translation, 3:16, we're going to take advantage of that reality. It says historical disaster and personal suffering are in their highways. So the way of life that they've created and are involved with is creating historical disaster and personal suffering. And that's precisely what we've got going on in this country. Think about it. In the places where these people are voting, the way they're voting, consistently, and even the historical disaster and personal suffering coming along isn't changing any of it. Look what happened in Chicago. It went from bad to worse. Crazy. Whatever. Anyways, what that is, again, believers, negative believers getting what they deserve. Well, God's disciplining them. He's kicking their butts. Good. That's what has to happen, I guess. But you understand why you would think these people would change their mind. You wouldn't? I mean, but people with a brain are moving to Florida. That's probably the reason why they're losing up there, too. But I'm just saying that. And in Florida, things are going good. Well, as good as they can. They're having problems, too, because the left doesn't like they don't like the view of divine establishment on culture. They hate it. That's really where the war goes all the time, perversion. And that's what the governor down there is going against, and that's why he'll never win. people like him because he doesn't have the smoke and fire that Trump has, but the same ideas. But he's a cultural conservative. Ooh, you know when the last time a cultural conservative won a presidency in the United States? I don't know. No time recently. I mean, really. I don't know. Maybe Eisenhower? That'd be in the 50s. You may have to go back further than that. I don't know. When a cultural conservative, we have these so-called fiscal conservative people. Okay, they say that we want to believe in free enterprise. But the fact of the matter is, if it isn't running on a cultural basis, it's worthless. The culture is issue. The culture is everything. Because that's where everything comes out of. And that's where depravity is. The culture. So that's what we got going. And that's why we have what we got. So this means that depraved reversionism always connotes historical as well as personal disaster for people involved. No client nation can have freedom and prosperity apart from God's integrity. And maladjustment to God's integrity means both personal and historical disaster. So there's the cause, right there. They said no. In the case of believers, they said no to being filled with the Spirit. In the case of unbelievers, which really don't matter, they said no to Jesus. Okay, you got to realize, in the client nation, during the church age, the country is run by believers. There's unbelievers out there, but what they do doesn't matter. They're always negative. God doesn't care. He can deal with them in the lake of fire, or lake of purification. He's got a billion years to deal with that, or as long as he wants, whatever that happens to be. Could be forever. That's what it says in the Greek. So, anyways, he can deal with them people later. Now, he doesn't have no time to deal with these believers. Because the moment they're dead, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. So he's got a short period of time to deal with these people, and that's right now. That's what he's doing. That's why he got what he got. That's precisely why we're at. So, verse 17, from Isaiah 59:8, and the way of peace, let's go into our 58, and then we'll go back and look at the Greek. In the way of peace, they do not know. This includes the intensive use. I guess we'll go with this one. So let's read it through anyway. They do not know the way of peace. Just about the same. There is no justice in their land. Woo! In their tracks. That sounds familiar. That's called the FBI and the Injustice Department under the present leadership. If you haven't noticed. Just look at who's the boss of the FBI and who's the boss of the Justice Department. They're both complete wackos. They have made their paths crooked. Yeah. And whatever treads on them does not know peace. So the walk that they're on, there's no peace. So that's where they're at. So, back to our Romans passage in the Greek. The way of peace, they have not known. The path of peace, they have not known. There's our path. We're going to see that is way. This includes the intensive use of the conjunctive chi. That means in fact. So there's your and. The first word there. We'll show up the Nestle owned. There's our chi. Okay, it's normally translated in and. But a better translation in this context, because it's a way of the reason why things are playing out that way they are. It's not just an and, it's a cause. It's causal. So the in fact comes into view in the context with the chi. It doesn't always have to mean just and. Something else, okay? It means this kind of leads into the next idea. So this includes the intensive use of the conjunction chi, that means, in this case, means in fact, plus the strong negative uk. That's a not here. There's our uk, okay? Uk is a very strong negative, so they don't know. The aorist active indicative of the verb gnosko, that's a word we know. Gnosis, gnosko, that's our word for to know. Remember, gnosis is the root of epinosis. You know, I was talking about what we need in this country is epinosis. Remember, it says God desires all men to be saved and come to the epinosis of the truth. Okay, epinosis leads to godliness. Yeah. So, what we need in this country to keep the place running, if it's going to keep running, is epinosis and godliness. Epinosis, the word for godliness, can't remember that at the moment, but Eusebia. That's it, Eusebia. So, we need epinosis and Eusebia. I think I said it last time, because I remembered the word. So anyways, so that's what we need here. That'll save the country. Now, God's dealing with people, so Benjamin outside the country will see. So we got a not here. And the aorist tense of the verb gnosko, which I noted is a root of knowledge, the word knowledge, that means to understand, to comprehend. So the corrected translation is that they have not understood. So it's not that they don't know it, they don't understand it. Actually, what's interesting is they rejected it. That's a part of the problem. That's the problem with negative volition. You know, when you reject Jesus, you reject the doctrine. And you reject everything come downstream from that doctrine. Okay, so the person of Jesus gets you in the game. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're not even in the game. I mean, I said earlier, believers only. So you stay an unbeliever, you can be a complete moron and act that way, but God's not really concerned. He's got a million years to deal with you. And he'll get that sorted out eventually. But he's got to deal with you believers right now. And that's what we're dealing with here. It says, so they have not understood. What they say no to? They said no to filling of the Spirit. Huh, that means they didn't rebound. That's a bad deal. And also means they didn't learn any doctrine, so they never got to maturity. So they're stuck as a believer with no doctrine, and all they're going to do is cosmic things, because that's what they do. That's cosmic. It's called carnal or cosmic death. This is a constant of aorist that contemplates the action of the verb in entirety. It takes the occurrence of depravity from reversionistic maladjustment to God's justice and regards it from how long it goes, regardless of how long it goes on, it gathers it in one entirety. So that, I talk about that off the time. This is how he takes, how God takes the entire sequence of maladjustment and puts it into one bucket. That's what it's saying here. It puts it all together into one entirety. I call that a bucket. Now, there's a technical word for it. It's called a class. Or maybe a type would be another equivalent. But in software, it's a class. You create classes of things that are structured to look like, that are tied together. So, I mean, for example, a class would be numbers. Numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, go on. Okay, that's a class of data. Then you have letters. Oh, A, B, C, D, F, G. Okay, that's another class of letters. That's an example of classes. So, God does that same kind of idea only with positive and negative volition. And here you have maladjustment. Well, that's negative volition. So the entire class of negative volition gets rolled into one bucket, and he deals with them all the same. Because that fits the situation, right? He does it once. Boom. Problem solved. This refers to negative reversionistic believers who spin off from the historical pivot. Remember, the pivot is the, as goes the believer who's in the pivot, goes to client nation. Now, these are the spin-off. What they've done, what's a spin-off? They said no. No, they're believers, but they're saying no to the truth. So what do? They spin off. They're not part of it. They're actually at war with the people. That's the cause of the problem. The active voice, those who are maladjusted to God's justice, are not aware of God's integrity because they do not know God's word of truth. That's the problem. If they knew the truth, they wouldn't vote for the people they're voting for. Okay? They just wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, that blows my mind. How can a person that says they're a Christian vote for these people? It makes no rational sense. And the only answer is they're completely deceived. That's possible. It may be probable for some of them. Their verbiage has been stolen. That's another big one. The left does that. The devil does that. He takes words that we commonly use for certain things and moves them over to mean something else. And so when they talk, people get sucked into it because, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. But no, you're not, because they redefine the words. You can't do that. I mean, you can, but you got to follow. You got to go back to what they really mean. They lie all the time using that kind of technique. So you got to understand what's going on. So people get deceived with that. Then you got people just don't plain know because they didn't care. They didn't take the time to learn how to be filled with the Spirit. And they were just busy with doing what they got to do. Okay, they're still believers, though, going to heaven. But they're the cause of this problem in this country at this point. Bible doctrine is the manifestation and verbalization of God's integrity. See, the Word of God explains everything we need to know about God and His policy and His plans and His system, how the thing runs. It's all about that. And mostly, most of the Bible is about believers. Now, there's a little places here and there. Romans is one of the places where God's dealing with unbelievers, explaining the system, so that they can learn how to be in the system. And if they choose to be, they can be. They got to say yes to Jesus to get there. Okay, then they're in the game. Okay, up until that point, they're not even in the game. I mean, it's interesting to think about who's in the game when in time. You know, that's because unbelievers were a factor at certain times in history, like before the flood. Okay, that's why they all died. eight people survived that thing. That's a serious problem. Everybody died except for eight people. One family, one extended family. So it's not that way in the church age. You got lots of believers all over the place. It's just a lot of them don't have a clue. Because they don't want to, I guess. So ignorance of Bible doctrine means ignorance of integrity. See, there's your problem. Now you're voting for the wrong person because you think they're a nice person. And they don't make stupid comments that you don't like. It'll offend you. Well, you moron. You voted for the wrong guy because of that? You really are dumb. But that's what we got. So the wrong guys win. That's how they got the job. And now they're going to tear the place apart, and you're going to be a beneficiary of that process. Or should I say the cursed one. The indicative mood is declarative for the fact that it describes the situation from the viewpoint of historical reality. So the strict historical reality is negative volition to doctrine, means negative volition to integrity, which means a negative volition to God, even though you're a believer. Then the accusative singular direct object of hodos, that means a highway or way. So we got the way of peace, way. There's our word hodos. Means a road, a way of walking, a way of getting from point A to point B. With a descriptive genitive singular irene, there's our word peace. We talked about that a minute ago. And why we would be discussing that, because people misunderstand. Peace can be used for multiple things in the English. But in the Greek, not so specific. There's other words that could do with what we tend to think. Peace, that's one of the problems between going from the Greek to the English. Is the peace got a lot of definitions in the English, and not so many in the Greek. And we're going to narrow that down here next little bit. Irene, that means tranquility, blessing, health, harmony, or welfare. That's what irene means. So it also could mean like prosperity, money. You know, good stuff you like to have. Right? But it does not refer to relationships between people or an attitude. It refers to a situation or a status. It means prosperity in the sense of tranquility or blessing, and sometimes prosperity in the sense of freedom from war. It is a reference to blessing from God's integrity. That's what irene means. So it doesn't have to do with peace between people. It doesn't have to do with lack of conflict. That's what commonly we think about it. We think of the way of peace. Well, they don't. That's not what the word means. It doesn't refer to no war. It doesn't refer to lack of conflict. It refers to prosperity, blessing, health, and harmony from God. Okay? That's what the word means. So to change your thinking about that word. Because that's what it's telling. It's telling you that all the stuff you want to have is coming on the basis of peace. Peace with God. And that means compatibility with its integrity. Woohoo. That would be where we want to be, right? Yes, sir, it is. So they don't understand that system. I mean, you understand God's system. It's not a system of works. It's a system of grace. See, people don't get that. They think that they got to be hard-working, good people to get stuff. No! You got to have qualifications to have got capacity from God's grace. Now, that may well involve you being a hard person, working good person. Yeah, it sure might. But the reason is that God's grace is the cause. See, that's what comes first. Got to understand the priority here. God's always the priority. Now, how that works out in our experience, that's positive volition does that for you. The Holy Spirit leads you there. But the root core of it is God's integrity. And that means you're a believer in Jesus, filled with the Spirit, advancing to maturity. Got to be done. All of them. Expanded translation, verse 17, Romans 3. In fact, they have not known the way of peace. That is, they have not known adjustments to God's justice. So they have not known blessing from God's justice. They don't even have a clue about how that works. They just think they have the old idea of being a good person by being a good, by working hard and being moral. No, it's way past that. Working hard and morality is fine, but it's a subset of spirituality. Small subset. It's a fraction of it. The way of peace being described here is obviously not world peace, freedom or strife for war. The way of peace as being described here is relationship with God's integrity. See, a lot of times the problem that a lot of times when God's involved, you're engaged in a war. In fact, always. I mean, the definition of what we're doing here is what's it called? Angelic war. It's angelic conflict. That means war. Yeah, the we're at war with the devil and his people. Now, the way we fight is different, obviously. But it's still a war. Doesn't change it. So, we got this war that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, based purely on the whether we're filled with the Spirit or not. It's that simple. So, if you're filled with the Spirit and you're consistently rebounding to keep that way, then you're good to go. But if you're not, not happening. That relationship is established through adjustment to God's justice in three categories. Salvation adjustment, that would be believe in Jesus. God to God's justice. Rebound adjustment, that would be keep on being full of the Spirit. And maturity adjustment, through the consistent daily function of the grace apparatus for spiritual perception. That's the grace system that we learn. See, what happens is doctrine gets built in your soul, and then God dumps prosperity into that doctrine. Because it's compatible. That's what's happened. Our position in Jesus, associated with the Holy Spirit and doctrine, makes us compatible with God, and then He will bless us the way He wants to at the time. Because a lot of times, blessing from God doesn't translate to overt prosperity. Very often it doesn't, because overt prosperity can be a distraction. It can take you away from His plan for you, if you're not careful. And so He won't necessarily give that to you. He'll give you something else. Peace of mind. Tranquility of soul. Understanding why things are the way they are. I mean, that's about as big as you can get right there. If you understand why things are the way they are, and how they're going to continue to be the way that way until something changes, then you can be cool with that. I mean, Jesus was content on the cross. How do you be content on the cross? I mean, it's one of the big passages. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before Him. He went to the cross just for you. It's in Philippians. And He's happy. Why? He knows exactly what's going on here, man. He's suffering the greatest suffering of any person ever, ever. He's getting hit with every sin of every human being for the entire history of the human race. Okay? That is not a pleasant place to be. But that's where He was. But that cup, and He's reason He has such happiness, and we're to emulate that while we're doing the same similar kind of suffering. Not the specific ones, but similar. Undeserved suffering is the point. And He was happy because He understood that He was the linchpin for the plan of God on the cross. Without that, we got nothing. Well, we got smoke. The whole place gets evaporated. That would be the answer, because that's the only answer that's left. Evaporation in the center of a star. That would be the whole human race and everybody that's there, apart from Jesus on the cross. Because he'd have to smoke it all. He'd have to kill it all. Done. He can't have anything to do with it. You know, of course, the devil challenged that. That's the point. I mean, that's what he did. He says, you're too good. You can't have that. We're going to see if we can make you violate your protocol. And God says, okay, go for it. And boom! The devil he causes the fall of the angels, the fall of mankind. And God says, okay, all right, I'll judge that in my son. Boom. Solved. Imputation. So the relationship established through adjustment to God's justice in those three categories, which we just noted. Relationship with God's integrity starts with salvation. It's a lot followed by fellowship with God through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That when persisted in results in maturity adjustment to God's justice that creates capacity for blessing from God's integrity. See, that's the issue. And capacity then leads to prosperity. So doctrine with the filling of the Spirit gets you that where you really want to be. All this adds up to irene. That's our word for peace. Or true blessing and true security. There's only one true security in life, and that is relationship with God's integrity. There's no security for the individual or nation apart from God's integrity. See, when people think they can get this stuff, they think they can have it without God. No, you cannot. And we're seeing it break down right now as we speak. The word irene or peace also means prosperity, and one's relationship with God's integrity is a predicate or sine qua non of individual prosperity. So we'll pick up here next time with verse 18. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word, for the clarity it gives us regarding the situation we're in, why we're here, how we're to deal with it, and what your plan is for dealing with it through your grace and ministry of the Holy Spirit and the word that ties back to the eternal decree. So everything coming out of the Word is absolutely true. And the challenge for us, of course, is to be in line with that so that you will bless us in association with your Word, because you always bless your Word. Help us to develop that capacity and thereby be the target of the blessings that you want to convey. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.